From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Amanda. Today, I'm going to take you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we are going to present you some segments, beginning from news, commentary, and of course, other interesting information. Let's start with the news. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
At RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo seeks Indonesian youth involvement in national development. President Joko Widodo pledges to build market and roads in Arfak, West Papua. Indonesia encourages member countries of non-bloc movement to support Palestinian independence. Now the news in detail. During the observance of Youth Pledge Day on October 28, President Joko Widodo appealed to Indonesian youngsters to partake in developing the nation. He pointed out that the spirit of Youth Pledge has continued to echo until now, adding that the country's youngsters must continue in the path to advancing the nation and country. Youth Pledge is a significant milestone in the history of the Indonesian independence movement. This pledge is regarded as the manifestation of the spirit to affirm the ideals of the founding of the state of Indonesia. The oath was made during the Second Youth Congress held in Jakarta on October 27-28, 1928. The pledge features three main points, with the first being, "We, the sons and daughters of Indonesia, acknowledge one motherland, Indonesia." While the second pledge is, "We, the sons and daughters of Indonesia, acknowledge one nation, the nation of Indonesia." The third point of the pledge is, "We, the sons and daughters of Indonesia, respect the language of unity, Indonesian language, or Bahasa Indonesia." Indonesian President Joko Widodo has pledged to build infrastructure including roads, hospital and market in Arfak Mountain District, West Papua Province. As requested by Arfak Mountain District Head, the construction works of a road connecting Manokwari and Arfak Mountain would be completed soon. The Arfak-Manokwari Road is crucial for transportation of people as well as goods, particularly agricultural products. President Joko Widodo also promised to build an airport, a market, hospital, and community health centers in Arfak Mountain and would complete the development projects within 2 years. In the meantime, President Joko Widodo would check the infrastructure development projects, including an airport renovation in Kaimana, which is being designated as a halal tourism destination. Young Papuan Generation's 3,500 members joined a roll call and cultural parade at Swakarsa Field, Arso Subdistrict, Kiron, on Monday, October 28, coinciding with President Joko Widodo and top government officials' visit to Papua and West Papua. Attendees at the roll call and cultural parade held to mark this year's Youth Pledge Day were youngsters representing various customary communities and ethnic groups in the province. Participants at this event also hoist a 2,500-meter-long red and white flag and read out a youth pledge. Deputy West Papua Governor Muhammad Lakotani had earlier remarked that the president and his entourage were scheduled to visit Manokwari, the capital city of West Papua Province, and Arfak Mountain District. On Monday, October 28, President Joko Widodo continues his working visit to Wamena, the capital city of Jayawijaya District in Papua Province. Indonesian government asked all member countries of non-bloc movement to give support on effort to Palestinian independence. This was conveyed in the 18th non-bloc movement summit in Baku Congress Center, Baku, Azerbaijan, on October 25th to 26, 2019. As stated in a press release from Indonesian Embassy in Baku, which was received in Jakarta on Sunday, October 27, Indonesian delegations led by Indonesian Ambassador to Azerbaijan Husnan Bey Fanani emphasized that issue on Palestinian independence becomes priority during Indonesian tenure as non-permanent member of the UN Security Council. Ambassador Husnan, as head of Indonesian delegation, said that it is important for member countries of non-bloc movement to support the role of Palestine in various international organizations, including Palestinian leadership in the G77 this year. The Indonesian government also asked those non-bloc member countries to assist Palestine through the increasing of trade and capacity development programs in governance. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. Member of the Indonesian House of Representatives and Head of Commission 4 of Prosperous Justice Party faction, Slamet, urged government to immediately finish various facilities and infrastructures related to construction of the Integrated Marine and Fishery Center in various regions. This was stated by Slamet in press release, which was received in Jakarta on Sunday, October 27. Slamet reminded that homeworks which need to be conducted in fishery and maritime sector are construction of cold chain system at 31 locations of the center, increasing the number of port and fishery export through determination of airport and seaport to export at 20 locations of the Integrated Marine and Fishery Center, and also 3,000 small-medium enterprises of fishery which have legal entities as cooperatives. In addition, Slamet further said that in Presidential Regulation No. 3/2017 also mandated as many as 5 programs and 28 activities which must be followed up strategically by various ministries. PT Angkasa Pura II plans to expand into the international market and targets the African region as its main market for business development in the future. Potential airport in Africa, which have been and are being explored by Angkasa Pura II, among others, airport in Mauritius, Madagascar, Zanzibar, Tanzania, and Nigeria. Executive Director of Angkasa Pura II, Muhammad Awaluddin, as quoted by Antara on Sunday, October 27, said that his party is exploring market for processing and development in various countries in Africa. Currently, the company also explores the opportunity to manage airport in other regions such as in Thailand. The last item. South Sumatra Governor Herman Deru affirmed that his administrative side had inked a letter of capacity to become the U20 World Cup host after FIFA appointed Indonesia to hold the event in 2021. The governor will thereafter prepare an order for management of the Gelora Sriwijaya Jakabaring Stadium to ready the necessary infrastructure. According to the governor, the field, grass, and also safety requirement, as well as other technical conditions, shall be prepared, Deru explained. Furthermore, the citizens of South Sumatra, especially in Palembang, should be ready and open to welcome this international soccer event. An announcement was made at the FIFA Council meeting in Shanghai, China on October 24 to formally appoint Indonesia to host the 2021 U20 Soccer World Cup, thereby beating contenders Brazil and Peru. Jakabaring Stadium has become one of the host venue candidates. It was earlier a venue for the Asian Games 18 in 2018, as Palembang hosted the event along with Jakarta. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Huge in the Technological Era 4.0. Well, listener, huge have an important role in the journey of a nation. History records that Indonesian independence was achieved thanks to the rule of the huge. Thanks to the insistence of huge who kidnapped Sukarno and Muhammad Atta to Rangis Dengklok, West Java, Indonesia, then succeeded in proclaiming its independence in 1945. Indeed, the rule of huge in pursuing independence had existed long before 1945, starting from the establishment of Budi Utomo Huge Organization in 1908 until the holding of the Huge Congress 1 and 2, which then produced a pledge known as the Huge Pledge. The Huge Pledge, initiated on 28 October 1928, became an instrument and encouragement for Indonesian people to be independent. With the promulgation of the Huge Pledge, the struggle of Indonesian nation, which was primarily regional in nature, was successfully put together to realize an independent Indonesia. Of course, today's youth are different from the youth 91 years ago. Today's youth are living in the era of fast-paced technology 4.0. What was experienced by young people in 1928 is certainly different from today's youth, when information technology is so advanced. On one hand, the rapid development of information technology has positive and negative impacts. On the other hand, the speed of information technology enables young people to enhance their knowledge, development resources, and competitiveness. However, the development of information technology also has negative impact if what is received is destructive. Take, for example, the information is about radicalism. Thus, Indonesian youth must know, be smart to filter, sort, and choose the information. They might differentiate which information is useful, less useful, or dangerous. In addition, Indonesian youth must have a strong character, faith and pity, high integrity, honesty, politeness, leadership, intellectuality, and responsibility. They must be disciplined and able to innovate in a big to play an active role at the international level. Youth are the hood and the future of the nation and state. Happy Youth Fledge Day. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Today in History. We start from an event on October 28, 1924, when Law College of RHS was opened. Reksuja School de Batavia, or RHS, had been opened in Batavia on October 28, 1924. RHS was the first law college. In the early 20th century, the establishment of college in Dutch East Indies became heated debate among elite communities of the Dutch and leaders of Bumiputra. The fact showed that there was doubt on the side of the colonial government to establish a college in the Dutch East Indies. On March 8, 1910, the colonial government agreed to establish Indies Universiteit Vereniging, the association of the Dutch East Indies University, in its statute. Mention the IUV with the goals to improve, to establish, and to manage the Dutch East Indies College. After July 3, 1920, Teknische Hogeschool, the Bandung, or Technical College in Bandung, was opened so that the government of the Dutch Indies opened RHS. Next event is that in 1928, the Second Youth Congress was held. The termination of the Second Youth Congress, which was held on October 27 and 28, 1928 in Batavia, affirmed that the idea would create Tanah Air Indonesia, Bangsa Indonesia, and Bahasa Indonesia, in English means Homeland Indonesia, Nation of Indonesia, and Indonesian language. The determination is well known as Sumpah Pemuda, which means Youth Pledge. Even though the term did not appear in the Congress determination and it gave after the Congress, Sumpah Pemuda is the milestone in history of Indonesia's independence movement. The pledge is considered as a crystallization of the spirit to emphasize the ideals of the founding of the Indonesian state. Since 1959, October 28 has been decided as Youth Pledge Day by the Indonesian government through Presidential Decree No. 316-1959 on December 16, 1959. The last event is about Bill Gates. William Henry Bill Gates III, who was born on October 20, 1955, was businessman, investor, philanthropist, and writer from United States of America, and also former of CEO, who was at that time officiated as chief of Microsoft, software company established along with Paul Allen. Bill Gates was ranked permanently among the richest people in the world and ranked first from 1995 to 2009. In the last step of his career, he made some philanthropy efforts by donating some of finance to various organizations of charity and science research program through Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which was established in 2000. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Tak sanggup.
That was a song titled Selalu Denganmu or Always With You by Tompi. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. And for the next segment, we will take you to learn more information about Indonesian issues in our program, My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. It's good to be with you again in our regular program, My Indonesia. Well, the topic of My Indonesia today is Indonesia reforms five sectors to simplify business. Well, listener, Indonesia is one of the countries achieving the most improvements in the big to make business easier. This is the result of a Business Ease Index report released by the World Bank on Friday. Indonesia scored 69.6 out of 100 and ranked 73rd out of 190 countries. The rating did not change when compared to the achievement in 2009, although the value increased 1.64 points. In this report, the World Bank said that Indonesia had made improvements in part of the 10 sectors that become the assessment indicators. This number is the second largest globally, equaling to Myanmar and only behind the People's Republic of China, which makes improvement in 8 sectors. One indicator that is considered better in Indonesia is the ease of starting a business. Indonesia make improvements by introducing an online single submission, OSS, which facilitates the acquisition of business licenses. Meanwhile, on the electrification side, Indonesia has increased its electricity supply capacity well. Improvements to the electricity network maintenance system are also carried out in order to increase the productivity of the business world. On cross-border trade indicators, the World Bank considers Indonesia to further simplify this process by improving the online good clarification system for exports. Another sector that gets a positive value is low enforcement of agreements or importing contracts. This can be seen from the emergence of an online case management system for judges. The World Bank also appreciates the development of the taxation system or export paying taxes that apply in Jakarta and Surabaya. Indonesia makes tax payment easier by implementing an online filing and payment system for major taxes. This reform applies to Jakarta and Surabaya. The aspect of trading across borders or similar cross-border trade, similar progress is also an added value for Indonesia. The World Bank views that the cross-border trade in Jakarta and Surabaya is easier as the export custom declaration process uses an online system. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Suratku, kau katakan padaku
You've just listened to a song titled Kangen or Missing You by Krisha feat. Sulpia Lajuba. For the next segment, I'm going to take you to visit a museum in Jakarta called Museum Sumpah Pemuda. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, I introduce you Sumpah Pemuda Museum in Jakarta. Stay tuned. Sumpah Pemuda Museum is a historical museum of struggle of the Indonesian independence, which is located on Jalan Keramat Raya No. 106, Central Jakarta, and it is managed by the Ministry of Culture and Tourism. The museum has collections of photographs and objects connecting with history of Youth Pledge 1928 and the activities in Indonesia's Youth National Movement. Sumpah Pemuda Museum was constructed based on decree of Governor Jakarta in 1972, and it becomes a national cultural heritage object. The building was a place where the youth pledge was read and it was students' shelter. The building was renovated by the regional government of Jakarta on April 3rd until May 20, 1973, and it was inaugurated by former governor of Jakarta Ali Sadikin on May 20, 1973 as Gedung Sumpah Pemuda. The building was inaugurated again by President Suharto on May 20, 1974. In 2007, the number of Sumpah Pemuda Museum's collections totally reaches 2,867 pieces, and Gedung Keramat 106 is the main collection where the Second Youth Congress was planned and conducted on October 27 to 28, 1928. Some collections of the museum are 107 photographs of youth organization activities, 35 flags of the organization, 11 statues of youth figures, violin of Wage Rudolf Supratman, and many others. Those collections are exhibited with the arrangement which follows the chronology of the youth pledge. Listener, that was our segment, Indonesian Wonder. Thank you for listening.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kan Tapi ku tak rela lepaskanmu. Kau tanya mengapa aku tak ingin pergi darimu, dan mulutku diam membisu. Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan tanyakan mengapa, karena aku tak tahu. Aku pun tak ingin bila kau pergi tinggalkan aku. Masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi? Apakah yang harus aku lakukan untuk menarik perhatianmu lagi? Oh, walaupun harus mengubah tetap di sini, lihat aku, duhai sayangku. Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu? Jangan tanyakan mengapa, karena aku tak tahu. Aku pun tak ingin bila kau pergi tinggalkan aku. Masihkah ada hasratmu untuk mencintaiku lagi? Salahkah bila diriku terlalu mencintaimu?
A song titled Salahkah Aku Terlalu Mencintaimu or Is It Wrong If I Fall in Love with You by Fatin. For the next segment, let's learn Indonesian language in our program Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabularies and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of Voice of Indonesia with Language Development and Cultivation Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is minum obat tiga kali sehari, or in English, taking a medicine three times a day. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about minum obat tiga kali sehari, or in English, taking a medicine three times a day. Tony is sick and he has gone to doctor. Now he wants to buy medicines at pharmacy.
Bapak Tony.
Ya, saya.
Ini obat untuk Anda. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan.
Baik. Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini?
3 kali sehari. Semoga lekas sembuh.
Terima kasih.
After to the conversation, now I'll introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Ya saya, which means yes, I am. Ini obat untuk Anda, which means here is your medicine. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. This is medicine for diare, this is for nausea, and this is vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan, which means take this medicine after eating. Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Which means, how many times a day should I take this medicine? Tiga kali sehari. Tiga kali sehari. Which means, three times a day. Semoga lekas sembuh. Which means, get well soon. If you want to ask about frequency in doing something in a certain time, in Indonesian language, it usually start with berapa kali sehari, which means how many times a day, berapa kali seminggu, which means how many times a week, berapa kali sebulan, which means how many times a month, berapa kali setahun, which means how many times a year. Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini? Which means, how many times a day should I take the medicine? Berapa kali seminggu Anda berolahraga? Which means, how many times a week do you do exercise? Now let's listen to the use of frequency expressions in the next sentences. Saya harus minum obat ini tiga kali sehari. Saya harus minum obat ini tiga kali sehari. Which means, I have to take the medicine three times a day. Saya berolahraga dua kali seminggu. Which means, I do exercise twice a week. Next, to give instruction for taking medicine, you can use some expressions among others. Minum obat ini tiga kali sehari. Or in English, take the medicine three times a day. Minum obat ini sebelum makan. In English, take the medicine before eating. Ini antibiotik. This is antibiotic. Obat ini harus habis. Which means, this medicine must be taken up. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Bapak Tony.
Ya, saya.
Ini obat untuk Anda. Ini obat diare, ini obat mual, dan ini vitamin. Minum obat ini setelah makan.
Baik, berapa kali sehari saya harus minum obat ini?
Tiga kali sehari, semoga lekas sembuh.
Terima kasih.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Semua tanya.
There was a song titled Tentang Seseorang or About Someone by Anda. For the next segment, I'm going to give you more information about Indonesian music. So stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a Kroncong song entitled Kecewa. The song Kecewa tells about disappointed or sad feeling because the lover has gone and impossible to meet her or him again. She still looks for the lover, but unfortunately they never meet the man again. The song Kecewa is an old song which still easy listening until nowadays. Moreover, the song is accompanied by melodious kroncong music. Well, listener, let's listen to Yeni Arbian with the song Kecewa. Enjoy the song.
Oh,
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you very much for joining our program. And also, don't forget to give us your comments, criticism, and suggestions to our Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and you can also send us your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Amanda, thank you very much, and have a great day.